Well, Dad, this is your day. Live it up in the way that God would want you to. You wives and mothers, make this a day in which you can honor your husband, the father of your children. You children, give honor to your father. Well, it is a national holiday, and in many countries of the world, we find that the government has seen fitting that they would choose this particular day in June to designate it as a day of honoring fathers. But is it a suitable time for us to make fathers the subject of a sermon? And the truth of the matter is that long, long before any government, any people decided that there should be honor given to fathers, that there should be instructions that would be given to fathers, that there should be duty and honor that would be accorded to fathers, we find the Word of God many, many hundreds of years ago have selected out men who can be rightfully designated as fathers. The Word of God is so suited to our subject this morning because it not only is going to tell us about fathers, about whatever God expects of fathers, but it is also going to tell us that fathers have been blessed. They have been blessed. What does the Word of God have to say? I trust that in the consideration that we will be having this morning hour, that everyone in the audience will receive benefit from it, because the study is so wide and it has to do with so many things about life and about the world that we are living in, that every one of us need to recognize that, first of all, God made fathers. It is the plan of God for family. It is the plan of God that in that family unit there would indeed be a father as the head of the household, that there would indeed be a mother, a loving mother, and that there would indeed be children that would be born and be a very vital part of that family. I read again in your hearing those good words that Brother Reuben has read. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. All right, what do we learn first of all about daddies? About fathers. Well, they have a duty. I don't know whether you've ever thought about it in that way or not, daddies, but they have a responsibility, a divine responsibility that is given by God to men that nobody else can fulfill. And that is that they have the intention, all young men who are preparing for marriage, all men who are already married, have a responsibility that is given by God that they will have children. From the very beginning, it has been so. When God, speaking to Adam, said, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth," Genesis 1 and verse 27. The idea of zero population is the annihilation of the human race. It is God's intention that fathers will propagate children. Husbands, then, should plan on being fathers. That should be their plan whenever they propose marriage to the girl of their dreams. That should be their intention from the very beginning, unless, and we realize that there are some in unfortunate circumstances where the man is not able physically, biologically, to propagate children, or possibly the mother is not able to bear children. But nevertheless, as far as the rule of God is concerned, men who intend to get married, those who intend to be fathers, ought to recognize one very, very vital reason why God has intended the act of marriage at all is in order that children might be born. Be sure, men, potential husbands, be sure that that is also the intention of the girl that you intend to marry. I think it is not only such a very grave error, I think it is a mistaken view whenever a woman would say, "No, I am career-minded. I have a great education, and children are secondary, or I do not intend to have children at all." Be sure the woman that you are going to marry is in wholehearted agreement with you. "I want to have children. I want that to be a part of our marriage." Make children a priority. I notice here that it talks about men in their youth who will have children. I am not trying to make any particular rule. I realize that the trend today is for us to wait later in life to have children. But oh, what a joy it is when in our youth of both men and women, whenever they have the physical and the kind of zeal that is necessary in order not only to bring children into the world, but in order to raise them, how necessary it is. Now, the one thing, though, that I want to emphasize before we move on, and that is, where do those children come from? Well, they are a heritage from God. You talk about receiving and inheritance whenever there are children that are born into a family of husband and wife, of father and mother. Well, that's a blessing from God. The scripture says, "Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them." In the next psalm, in Psalm 128, beginning with verse 2. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house. Your children are like olive plants all around your table. Verse 4. Blessed, behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. How wonderful it is then. You think about Abraham and Sarah. We've been talking about them on a Wednesday night. Their great longing in order that there might be a child that would be born. And finally, God fulfills His promise, and then that child is born. It is only then that God can truly say, "You are Abraham. You are the father of a great nation." Well, what are daddies to do? Well, not just to propagate children. Now you have them. What are you going to do with them? Well, don't say I want to get rid of them. I'm sorry that I've had them. Oh, no. This is where your work really gets started. Fathers are what? Well, fathers are providers. Do you know that that is a very good word? That word provide is the same one that we get the idea of providence from. But to provide means to care for. And whenever we look over at 1 Timothy, the 5th chapter, there are some very definite instructions that are given to the head of the family. And this is what is said in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8. But if anyone does not provide for his own family, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. What should all young men recognize whenever they contemplate marriage? Well, not only this happy responsibility of having children, but of recognizing God has given me. He has given me alone a responsibility that does not belong to my wife. It does not belong to my children. God has designated me in a honorable, high position, and I am to provide for my own household. Daddy, what if you don't do that? What if you're lazy? What if you say, "Oh, I'm going to let my wife provide for the family"? Don't you think this old world is turned upside down? I do. How many husbands are there that say to their wife, "Now, you've got to get out there and get busy and get a job the same as I do. You have an equal responsibility with me to provide for the family." And that's a lie. It's a lie. Who is to provide? Fathers. Fathers are to provide. What if you don't? What if you turn that responsibility over to your wife, or turn that responsibility over to someone else, a grandfather, to take care of your children? You've denied the faith. You're worse than an unbeliever and infidel. Oh, you can bear the name Christian all you want to. But in order for you to take care in the way that God has dictated to you, who are you, Daddy? You're the breadwinner. Well, where's Mama's place? Well, it's in the home. It's in the home. Oh, I know that there are some that say, well, that's degrading to women. Oh, no, no. You read of that worthy woman in Proverbs 31. Oh, she's able to do all kinds of things. She's able to make belts and sell them. She is able to buy a field. This is not talking about the matter of the wife not being intelligent and not being able to help out. What it is saying is there is a sole responsibility that is given to fathers to provide for the needs of their wife. Have you ever carefully read what is said in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, concerning how the husband will show his love, his care for his wife? There are some very tender words that are used here. It says, so, I'm at verse 28 of Ephesians 5, so husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Now verse 29, consider these words. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. What does that mean when it says the husband is to nourish and to cherish his wife? That he is to treat her just as he would treat his own body. Well, how does he treat his body? Well, he goes to McDonald's often. There are very few husbands who say, I'm hungry, but I've told my stomach to just be quiet. To nourish and to cherish. Oh, it means more than providing food for the table. Don't misunderstand me. One of the gravest illnesses in America. So all of the scientists, so all of the psychologists will tell us, is homes where there is no husband, where there is no father. Do you know, and I'm not trying to quote statistics, do you know that a vast number of the criminals have not had a father to raise them? Oh, the father produced the children, all right. He was the propagator, but after that he'd left. He'd left the mother in order that she would have to toil, not only to take care of all of the needs of the infants and the children, but to get out and to work with her hands. in order that she might provide. I tell you, people, we have the world turned upside down when we fail to recognize the responsibility that has been given to the Father. Somebody says, but if Mother does not get out and work 8 or 10 hours a day, we cannot buy that new sofa. Well, so what? Well, so what? Well, we cannot buy a house yet. Well, so what? So what? What does that have to do with obeying the commands of God? You men, you fathers, you recognize before you ever get married and then ever after, I am to provide for my family. I am to nourish and to cherish my wife even as my own body. I have brought these children into the world. They are a gift from God. I must take care of them. Education? Sure. Being sure that they have food and clothing, that they have time for entertainment, that they are raised in that good environment. And then we come to, I guess, what becomes just the very top item for daddies, for fathers. Fathers are teachers. Fathers are teachers. Fathers are Bible teachers. Every father that fulfills the commands of God is going to be one from the very beginning that will teach those little ones and will teach those as they are growing up the Word of God. Ephesians 6 and verse 4. You fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. The revision says that we are to bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Daddies, do you really love your children? Do you really love your children? You say, oh, Brother Gene, listen, I have taken so much to heart what you've said in the earlier part of the lesson. I have seen that my children have been well clothed. I have seen that my children have been nourished. I have seen that they have had the very best of instructional attitudes in the schools. Do you love your children? Daddy, if you really love your children, I'll tell you what you want. You want every one of them to go to heaven. If you really love them, you want every one of them to go to heaven. You do not want a single one of your children to fail to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. You want to have that enjoyment, that experience of seeing every single one of your children as they grow to maturity, being baptized in water for the forgiveness of their sins, being born of water and of the Spirit, and experiencing the new birth. And you want them to be faithful unto death. That's not going to happen by accident. That's not going to happen by you taking them to play hockey or any other sport. That's not going to happen whenever you put some kind of entertainment, whether it is meals or family gatherings or whatever it may be. Number one importance for daddies is to bring up their children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, and it is a daily responsibility. Hear, O Israel, Deuteronomy 6, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets before your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Daddies, let me tell you the most important time of your day. It is not to taxi your children to some school event. It is not to see that they have sporting activities. The most important day, the most important hour, is whenever you sit down with your family in order that you may read and study and explain the Word of God. That's not Gene Tope talking. Bring up your children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Daddy, you've got to live a godly life yourself. There is no one that can see hypocrisy quicker, sooner, realistically than the children. Daddy says he's a Christian. He lost his temper. Daddy says he's a Christian. He told a dirty joke. Daddy says he's a Christian, and he let out a curse word. Daddy says he's a Christian, but he hardly ever attends worship. Daddies, what are you to do? Just as surely as Sunday morning comes around, you're to have your children ready. You're to have your children ready early. You are to see that they are in Bible class every Lord's Day, unless there's something that prevents. And while they're studying, Daddy and Mama is studying. Are you listening to me? Am I getting through at all as to what fathers are to do, what they are to be? Begin early. Begin early. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is to see those little children at the back of the building, to know that they have been to Bible class and that they are learning about God. from a child, Paul said to Timothy, from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation. Daddy, strive to be the best kind of father that you can possibly be. And it's a lifelong job. It's a full-time job. Are you fulfilling your God-given role as a father? Don't you want to do that? If you're not a Christian, oh, there are so many reasons why you ought to be a Christian for yourself. Become a Christian today. Have your sins washed away in baptism. Put him on and serve him diligently. Bring up your family in the nurture, the admonition of the Lord. And all of you have that hope of heaven.